Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
It is training camp, but only for one more day, officially. It's Thursday, August 16th, next to last day of camp for the team, but the last day of camp for one Darren Hartwell. Yes, Darren Hartwell.
Mm-hmm. The one and only.
From Williams. Yep. He joins...
Senior-to-be... 1,000-yard receiver for Williams, Darren Hartwell.
Gagliardi Trophy Award winner.
You got to live up to it.
I guess
the expectations
I guess so.
Are there.
Yeah,
that's Andy Hart's voice you hear over there. I'm Eric Scalavino here to recap the penultimate practice of Patriots training camp. 22 days, 17 practices in, and the injury bug hit a little bit today, fellas.
It bites.
Jabbar Gaffney, who we saw yesterday go out with what looked like a hip/... thigh type injury on his right leg, was out there in t-shirt and long sweatpants. Yep. Only
day to day, not life threatening. No. According to Bill Belichick.
Thank God for that, because you know we like Jab.
Plus,
you know?
You'd think if it was life threatening, they'd take him to a hospital.
You would think. You would hope
not make him watch practice.
Mm-hmm. Right, but during practice, not good news for rookie Tavon Wilson, who had a left ankle injury. He had tried to jog it off a little bit. Tried to do some exercises to strengthen it, but ended up getting the old ice bag around there to treat it. Stephen Ridley, a little bit more of a concern there. He went out on one particular – well, we don't know if it necessarily happened on this play, but there was one play in teamwork where Aaron Hernandez was playing tight fullback, lead blocking for Ridley. At the snap, Ridley gets the ball, but I didn't see who it was that shot the gap, but was it Spikes?
Who hit Ridley?
Who hit
Chandler,
Ridley?
Jones.
Chandler Jones,
yeah.
Shot the gap perfectly.
Blew it the bleep up.
Blew it the heck up. You heard the clash of the plastic and the pads and everything. We don't know if that was necessarily the play where he got hurt, but after that play, he was seen going to the sideline and getting treatment and evaluation of his right knee. Mm-hmm.
But it didn't appear, doctors from afar, to be a ligament-type knee issue.
Based on the type of
testing they were doing. Yep. They had him do kind of a one-legged squat. It seemed to be more of a strength issue, a patella tendon, a muscle attachment near the knee. So it didn't appear, you know, everybody, I think, knee, the first thing they jump to is ligaments, MCL,
tears,
ACL.
And all that, yeah.
Just from afar, layman's view, it didn't look like something in that
realm. Might have
realm.
Just gotten a hit to the knee.
Yeah, who knows, bruised, anything.
And... further, I guess, good news, if you want to call it that, he didn't get any sort of ice treatment.
Right.
Or, because usually if you get a tear or something, immediately they want to put ice on it. He didn't have any of that. He walked off the field today.
Stayed out for the rest of practice. Walked off.
Maybe a slight little favoring of that right knee, but nothing really noticeable or considerable.
Right. Generally,
a little bit
think
of a scare,
torn
though.
ACL. Torn tendon, they're going to bring a cart out. They're going to get him off the field and begin whatever process,
because
get him off his feet.
At one point, he was lying on his back. The trainer was working on him, and he had his hand on his forehead. Like it was almost like the end of the world.
Right. Well, it might hurt.
Looking. And it might have been hurting, but it looks like, obviously it's something we need to watch and be a little concerned about, but it doesn't look like it was as bad as it could have been.
Right. But because of the fact that, A, he's penciled in as your starting running back, B, you don't have a ton of depth at running back. If he's missing even any practice time, you're now down to Vereen, Woodhead, and Bolden.
Yeah.
None of the three really a true lead back type guy. And, you know, you're even down the fullbacks. You know, Katani hasn't been out there. He's a guy that could probably, in a pinch, be a single back, carry the ball a little bit. But, you know, so they have limited numbers. They do have two open roster spots as of right now. And I'll throw the name out there that I continue to throw out there. Ryan Grant, who worked out here, still on the open market. The Packers signed Cedric Benson. So who knows if Ryan Grant, if that number is still on their quote-unquote speed dial, if there's going to be any extended absence. Because I think you're a little bit thin already with if you go into the season with Woodhead, Ridley, and Vereen. But if one of them is already banged up, you know, it's even more of an issue probably.
On somewhat of another injury note, but there's a lot of good news to this one too. Aaron Hernandez today has something going on with his right
Lower leg. Lower leg.
We don't know exactly what
ankle,
it is.
Ankle, foot, calf, chin,
and now, something. It's something that's obviously annoying him, but it's not something that's so bad that he has to miss any plays. And
well, except when he goes to have Waylon
sure.
treats,
but those could be just regular
slash,
you know, rests right. that he was going to get anyway.
Tell and you who's starting to annoy.
Bill Belichick. Yeah. But he is he's looking when he's actually in the plays, he looks perfectly fine. He's leaping,
had borderline play
great
of the
catches.
Day. Great catch where actually the play
he's
Wilson
cutting.
Got hurt on.
Right.
He went up between Wilson and Gregory for the catch, probably 18,
like
20 yards down the field.
On the left side.
And a lot
yeah.
of these plays are right after he comes out.
Right.
So
and then he limps off. I saw him after one play, almost an exaggerated limp. Yeah. And then he's back in there and he's running routes, juking people. And, you know, all day, early on in practice, he was making the DBs look really bad
oh,
in one-on-one
yeah. Getting
drills.
Ridiculously wide open.
So it's hard to say, is it an annoyance? Is it an injury? Is it a tape thing? Is it, you know, because we've talked about sometimes if you tape it too tight, kind of goes numb, and that makes you not really be able to feel it and move properly. Mm-hmm. But he also missed time, remember? That was Monday, Sunday? Earlier in the week.
Earlier
two
in the
practices.
Week.
Practices.
Yeah, it was a couple of practices.
I'm sure those two things are related.
I think Monday, Tuesday
in
was
some
the
way. So it just bears watching for those of us that believe he could be, you know, a very key part. Mm-hmm. Not just a key
You're
part.
You're saying 100 catches.
Part. Yes. You can't get 100 catches if you don't play
exactly.
most games.
Rob Gronkowski, again, out there for the second day in a row. Looks like he's even improved from yesterday as far as being involved and being productive out there. It
sure.
doesn't look like he's been limited any further than
no.
when he, you know,
blocking,
says,
passes,
you know, blocking
feels fine.
Yeah,
says he feels fine.
Yeah.
He talked afterwards.
Yep.
Doesn't seem to be
Foco.
Too much of a concern.
Just circling back to Hernandez for one second. At the end of practice when they did conditioning, Hernandez spikes did not do conditioning. They did the ab work with the guys in shorts. So just to fill out the story there.
Yep. Yep.
Spikes was out there, which we should probably always update.
Yeah. We shouldn't take that for granted. You're right. And he's been getting a lot more vocal as the defense has started to make some plays out there. I saw him give Chandler Jones a nice little low five after they combined for a nice
well, that's his thing. He's,
play breakup.
He brings that contagious, youthful exuberance anytime he's on the field.
Yep.
And, you know, games, practices, he likes to fly around. He likes to read plays, shoot gaps. He likes to hit people, and he likes to celebrate afterwards. We've seen that practice field, game field. He just needs to stay out there so we can see more of that.
A couple of guys who got a little too excited today.
This, to me, is the news of the day.
Julian
the
Edelman.
Story of the day.
Julian Edelman and Nico Koutavidis during working on punt returns. Edelman was your punt returner, had a nice little move. And during camp, especially on special teams, normally you let the returner go. You're not tackling the return man. You go through your blocks. When he gets to you, you either you let up or you do a little two-hand touch thing, and
right.
you let him go.
Put a hand on him.
In this case, Edelman kind of was trying to get around people, did a spin move, and kind of ran into Nico Koutavidis, who was on the coverage team. There was a little bit of, shoving or whatever, and Edelman kind of escalated it through a swing at him. The next thing you know, the two of them are in each other's face. They're grabbing each other, threw the ball at him. Whistles were blowing. Bill had had enough and said, that's it. Both of you guys, get out. Kick them both out of practice.
Well, at first, they misread it. They
thought,
they just
get off the sideline.
And they both went, and Bill kind of went back to, and then he tried, no, get out. And he sent both of them off the field to the locker room.
Yep.
I've never seen it before. In my whatever training camp this is for me, back to 2001, I've never seen it. And I think it's interesting. And Rob Ninkovich, I asked him about, you know, the message, and he said, yeah, make sure we're on the same page. And what is that message? Don't fight. you had the three brawls earlier in camp, two in one day. I think it's clear they don't want any more of that, and they made an example of those two guys. You know, I thought it was actually very funny, too. Edelman just went, started to walk. He probably had a 10-yard head start.
Yeah.
And Nico Koutavidis.
He wanted to stick around.
And he, you know, kind of voiced his appeal to Berge Najarian, who's the head of football operations and head coach administration, Bill Belichick's right-hand man, essentially. And I don't know what he was expecting, like, Bears was going to overrule Bill and say, no, coach, why don't we let him stay? But I've never seen it. I think the message was well received,
yeah.
basically talking to Ninkovich. They all got it. I don't think you'll see another fight the rest of you know, camp slash preseason practices.
Not an intra-squad fight.
Now, I don't
next
think
week
see
in, next week in Tampa is something different.
Yeah, and Bill won't care about that.
No.
I don't think he has any problem if people stand up for themselves against another team. But, you know, as Deion Branch said, you know, it's competition, it's part of football, but we have to take care of each other. And I think Bill's worried that it's crossing into that, you know, too many
offense
fights,
versus defense,
too much,
and,
yeah, animosity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody gets hurt; it's just unnecessary.
Which is a terrible. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said they both walked off unattended, so who knows?
Yeah, they could have got to the bottom of the steps and brawled it out here.
Yeah.
Or they could have gotten to the bottom of the steps and were like, "What the hell did we just do? We got ourselves kicked out of practice. How stupid!"
Right. Yeah,
you know.
Certainly don't think they were celebrating. Certainly not Nico Kudavides, who is a long shot to make the roster anyway.
Yeah, and that's another thing Deion said too. It's the competitiveness in this camp is higher than he's ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's because there are so many openings. There's so much uncertainty at so many positions.
And limited practices.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there are a lot of reasons for it, but I do think it's at a little bit of a higher level, and the fights are probably symbolic of that.
Mm.
But I thought it was a spirited practice beyond just the fights. I
thought,
you know, there were the offense, I think, continues. Fred Kirsch kind of flippantly not happy with what he's seeing on offense with, you know, the passing game a little out of whack. Wes Welker had a drop at one point where it looked like the pass got on him quicker. Just not quite on the same page on various points. And then the running game got blown up a couple times.
Later on, the defensive line
so,
is getting in there.
I like it personally because, as I said the other day, I just assume the offense is going to be good.
Yeah.
They're too talented. Their history is too long here.
Yeah.
I like seeing the defense flying around and making plays because that gives me hope that they are going to be better than certainly they were last year and maybe better than I expected.
Right. And again, to put it in perspective, they've had camp for 3 weeks now. That's it. They're still...
Oh, believe me, in my mind, they've sucked, been good, sucked, been good like five times already.
Sure. And there's still a few weeks before they actually have to do this for real.
Right.
And we've said this on previous podcasts and on the radio show. The offense here has a history of starting slowly and then building up steam when the time comes, when it counts. One other note I think I'd like to throw in there.
Okay, then throw it in there since you're speaking.
Regarding Daniel Fells, a guy who was signed this offseason to, I believe, a three-year deal.
Yes.
A guy they have shown interest in the past in trying to get here, who was thought to be a key component to add to this tight end roster. He's been out at practice virtually every day in, you know, workout clothes, not in uniform. But today we saw him actually doing some sled work, trying to, you know, hit looking like he's taking another step towards maybe getting back onto the field.
Which is a good sign because there's been conflicting
Darren
reports.
Darren actually, I think, pointed that out, right?
Yeah. Darren's eagle eyes. He's younger than us. He can see that far away.
Yeah, binoculars.
And he's binoculars, too.
It's a good sign because there have been conflicting reports, whether it's a shoulder or a leg with him, multiple sources have... More sources seem to think shoulder, but either way, he's firing out and hitting a sled, so he's using his legs and his shoulders.
Something.
So he's taking that next step. I think that is a very good sign, and it'd be nice to see him, you know, do something in the next week or two to say, okay, yeah, we want him on the team, more so than just, well, we signed him to a three-year deal and we gave him a little money.
Yeah, I'd really like to see him do something, even if he doesn't get in a game, but I'd like to see him practice. What can he do? Can he catch?
Right.
How good a blocker is he? Does
and
he have any
speed? And that was a sign towards, hopefully, that today. Another thing I'd like to say, and I kind of tweeted about it, and I had some discussions. I'm with you, Eric. Ebner is going to make the team, not just special teams now. I'm starting to think he might offer more on defense than Matthew Slater does. And that's a guy that started three games at safety last year.
Yep.
And from what I've seen to Ebner, he had an interception two or three days ago. He got his hand on a ball
two
today.
Days in a row, actually.
He had a nice pass.
I just
pass
see him, though. And I remember talking to Vrabel and asking him, Mike Vrabel, former Patriots linebacker, now an assistant coach at Ohio State defensive line, but obviously knew Ebner and what he brought to that team. And he said he thought when he got into a professional program, not just a couple hours a day here and there, that Ebner could potentially develop into a defensive back, not just be a rugby player who covers kicks, basically.
Yep.
And I'm starting to see signs of that. He does not look lost out there.
No.
He seems like he knows where the ball's going, how to get to where he needs to be.
He has good instincts.
Yeah, and I think he's now a lock for the roster
as
a special teamer who also is an emergency defensive guy.
Yep, absolutely. Since this is his last day, we'll get any final key cogent observations from you.
Hartwell. One thing to note, we had looked like Dante Stallworth and Shane Vereen taking first team kickoff reps.
Yes.
Kick return reps.
They took the reps first. We like to say it that way.
Yes. Okay. They were the first
to take the reps.
To take the reps.
To take the reps. Yeah.
Yes, that is accurate. That is a little bit interesting, and given today's comments from Bill Belichick saying we didn't return him in any conditions last year very well,
right,
and we haven't this year based on the Saints game, talking about how abysmal the kickoff return game was. And I kind of tried to get him to talk about Jeff Demps today, and he didn't really want to talk about Jeff Demps
that
much today.
Intriguing.
But I think that's interesting as they continue to try to find someone, anyone, and if Stallworth can do it, it certainly helps his overall value with the team.
And we did not see, if I'm correct, Danny Woodhead in that group.
We saw him later.
We saw him at a different point. But
definitely less than we had
Less than we have
past.
Normally, because normally he is one of the first to take the reps.
Because he's the reigning...
Yeah, he's the incumbent.
And one other note I'm just throwing out there. We've seen Ryan Mallett cover punts yesterday, cover kicks today for the scout team. I still think there's a chance we see him cover a kick in a game a la Matt Gutierrez.
Oh, like Gutierrez. That would not be good for
and
him.
And he's a big, tall guy to be running down covering kicks. That might be laughable.
Not too wide either.
Yeah, no, it's going to be entertaining if he does it, but... I thought it was a spirited practice today. That would be my takeaway. I've said lackluster has been my theme
days. Not today.
I thought spirited, at times sloppy, but still spirited.
I'll take the sloppiness if there's spirit behind it. Because
you're going to make a mistake, make it at 100 miles an hour.
Exactly.
Putting on a show for my last day. Right?
Are you going to put on a show?
No,
they were putting on a show?
They were.
Sad.
Well, hopefully they'll put on another show tomorrow. But
and hopefully you'll put on a show October 13th?
Yeah.
20th. Tufts University. 20th. Yeah, Williams 20th. Versus Tufts. If you're in the greater Boston area, check it out. The PFW crew may be in the house.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for Darren. But we'll be back tomorrow with our final training camp podcast of 2012. We'll see you then. Don't run back inside, darling. You know just what I'm here for. So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't. Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.